Welcome to our study of the book of Hebrews here on the Radio Bible Course. We invite you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, received promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Well, we have talked about Gideon, and now we have come to Barak. Who was Barak? Well, he lived during the days of Jabin, the king of Canaan. Deborah, a prophetess, was leading Israel at the time, and that Jabin was giving them a very hard time. So she recruited Barak, the man listed in Hebrews 11:32. She recruited him to fight against Jabin's commander, Sisera. Jabin's capital was Hazor, which we recently visited on our Bible Lands tour. It's located north of the Sea of Galilee. Barak was reluctant to fight against Sisera and said he would not go unless Deborah accompanied him in the battle. Well, with that kind of an attitude, we wonder why he is listed here in Hebrews 11 as a man of great faith. It's because the odds against the victory were overwhelming. The enemy army, led by Sisera, had 900 chariots, and not only that, they were made of iron. Israel had none. Deborah, who was a prophetess, did lure Sisera's army, as she said she would, into the valley of Jezreel, along the Kishon River, where the chariots could easily maneuver. But the Lord helped the army of Israel. The Lord sent rain. The river overflowed, and the chariots were bogged in mud. Barak, with only 10,000 men, defeated the feared army of Sisera. Not a single soldier was left alive, and Sisera, the commander, fled. He took refuge in a tent where Jael, the wife of Heber, hid him. She put a covering over him and then took a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he lay fast asleep. And she drove the peg through his temple into the ground, and he died. And that's exactly what the prophetess Deborah had said would happen. How did she know? She was getting messages from God. A prophet speaks for God, and she was one of those through whom God communicated to deliver his people. That story of Barak is found in Judges chapter 4. The book of Judges also records the next man of faith, Samson. You'll read about him in Judges chapters 13 through 17. Before Samson was born, the Lord had determined that he would be the man who would deliver Israel from its enemies. We see that in chapter 13, verse 2, where it tells us about a certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of Danites. He had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are sterile and childless, but you are going to conceive and have a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth, and he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines." I have no doubt but that the mother of Samson taught him what the Lord had revealed, and he, as he grew up, trusted that someday he would deliver Israel, and that he believed the word of God. That God was with Samson is evident from the text. One time he was going with his parents down toward a certain city, and a young lion attacked them. he took it with his bare hands and killed it. Another time he killed 1,000 Philistine troops alone. While the world knows Samson as perhaps the strongest man who ever lived, the Bible treats him as a man of faith, not because he defeated the Philistines so often, but because he defeated them in his death. He had no fear of death and was willing to die to carry out the Lord's will. That's recorded in chapter 16 of the book of Judges. The Philistines had captured him after he had lost his strength. And they began to celebrate, saying, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands." When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain." While they were in high spirits, they shouted, "Bring out Samson to entertain us." So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I may lean against them." Remember, Samson had his eyes gouged out. Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "O sovereign Lord, remember me. O God, please strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." Then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he pushed with his might, all of his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than when he lived. Samson had his hopes in the next life. He was a man of faith. The promise of God that believers will be with him forever was so strong in Samson that he gladly gave up his life. The writer of Hebrews, next in verse 32, gives us the name of Jephthah. And this concerns one of the saddest stories in the Old Testament. Jephthah, first of all, was an illegitimate child. His mother was a prostitute, and the brothers, legitimate brothers of his father, drove Jephthah away. They said, "You are not going to get any inheritance in our family because you are the son of another woman." So Jephthah fled from his brothers and settled in the land of Tob, where a group of adventurers gathered around him and followed him. Now, he was a mighty warrior. At this time, the Israelites had been delivered into the hand of the Ammonites, and the Ammonites oppressed them for 18 years. Well, some of the rulers of Gilead decided they wanted to fight back, but they didn't have anyone who could lead their army, so they called on Jephthah, the very man who had been put out of his home and was alienated from them. Well, he finally consented to go. And in Judges chapter 11, verse 29, we are told that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. He crossed Gilead and Manasseh, passed from Mizpah of Gilead, and from there he advanced against the Ammonites. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord, "If you give the Ammonites into my hands, whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in triumph from the Ammonites will be the Lord's, and I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering." Now Jephthah was a fool. A man ought never to make a vow. God doesn't require that we make a vow, and the Scripture warns against making a vow. Well, Jephthah led the men to the battle, and he defeated the Ammonites, and he devastated 20 of their towns. And when he returned victorious to his home, who should come out to meet him but his daughter, his only daughter? And when he saw her, he remembered the vow and tore his clothes and cried, "Oh, my daughter, you have made me miserable and wretched because I have made a vow to the Lord that I cannot break." And she said, "You have given your word to the Lord, do to me just as you promised. Now that the Lord has avenged you of your enemies, the Ammonites, but grant me this one request," she said, "give me 2 months to roam the hills and weep with my friends, because I will never marry." He complied with her wish, and then did as he had vowed to the Lord to do. That is indeed a sad story. I hope we can learn something from it, however. Making a vow was a serious matter in the Old Testament. The law of Moses declared that if a man made a vow to the Lord, he must not break his word, but must do everything he said. Listen to Deuteronomy 23:21. "If you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it, for the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. But if you refrain from making a vow, you will not be guilty." This meant that a man could express what he intended to do, but he should not swear by the Lord's name that he will do a certain thing. And the next verse states, "Whatever your lips utter, you must be sure to do, because you made your vow freely to the Lord your God with your own mouth." Solomon indeed had wisdom, for he wrote this concerning a vow. It's in Proverbs 20:25. "It is a trap for a man to dedicate something rashly and only later to consider his vows." And in Ecclesiastes 5:4 it says, "When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vows. It is better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it." Is there any wonder, then, that the New Testament warns against taking an oath? Jesus said, "Swear not at all. Say yes or no, for whatever is more than that comes from the evil one." Men are weak, and even though they have good intentions, there are too many things that can prevent them from fulfilling what they promise. I hope you don't trap yourself with the vow. But I do hope you will write for a free copy of our newly printed teaching tape brochure. It lists and describes 25 short courses on cassette tape that will help you to comprehend the Bible. Among these is Understanding the New Testament. This exciting course is unmatched in providing biblical understanding. This course is a biblical treat. You will hear the Christian faith presented as never before, and it will change your orientation both to God and to the Bible. It will challenge you to re-examine commonly held concepts about Christianity. No tape course or book contains this exciting material. It was developed as a short course at Louisiana State University years ago. You can get information about these and other tapes by asking for our teaching tape brochure. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calabota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana 70898. The website is rbcword.org.